1 this evening, this afternoon, Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, beginning there at verse 21, we're going to read to the end of verse 23. And it says there, "There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again this afternoon for Thy Word. Thank Thee again for these words of wisdom, how we need godly counsel these days, and how that we can find that godly counsel in Thy Word. And we're thankful, Father, that we don't have to fumble our way through life. We don't have to go through life with fear in our hearts, but we can be at peace with Thee. And we can make wise decisions, and we can seek to help others to also make wise decisions. And so we pray that as we look at these verses this afternoon, that each one of us would be willing to listen to what Thou hast to say through Thy Word. Pray that Thou'st guide me in the preaching of Thy Word, that I'd be faithful to the text, and that Thy name would be exalted in all that is said and done here. We pray for anyone listening, either by here in person or a live stream, that anyone listening that's not saved, that they might see the importance of turning to Thee and knowing Thy forgiveness and Thy truth in these days of grace that we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just get all my electronic devices in sync here, and then we'll be good to go. We're so crippled today by electronic things that we can't hardly function without them, but that's the world we live in, I guess. So the title of the message this afternoon is, "The Lord's Counsel Stands." And that's important. As we have been going through these last 15 or so months of phony accounts, false accounts that have been given to us, the story has always been changing. And nobody seems to have a consistent word. When we first had this, as I mentioned to my wife, when the virus was first announced, and it was pretty clear that it came from a lab in China. And then all of a sudden the WHO, which is run by China, said, no, you can't say that, don't say that. And so then, well, no, we don't know where the virus came from. But now through more research again, the more and more evidence is coming out that the virus did indeed come from a lab in China. Of course, one of the things that the liberal media says right away is that if you blame it on the Chinese, you're a racist. Well, racism is an evolutionary term. It's not a Bible term. The Bible doesn't divide people into races. It divides people into nations. And it's true that the Chinese government is a communist government, and they do have a plan. And their plan is not to make the world a better world. Their plan is to make the world run according to their dictates. And if you don't like their dictates, well, you won't last very long. That's their plan. That's what they have in mind. And our prime minister loves the Chinese government, and so he is kowtowing to them very much in the way that he is running our country. As we look at this text today, we see that ever since the fall of man, man has been trying to devise a way to live successfully without God. Not with God, but without God. Cain, in Genesis chapter 4, he decided that he was going to form his own religion. He was the first one to develop a humanistic religion. And he came with his false sacrifice to God, and God said, "No, I'm not going to accept that." You see, God is always very clear with us as people. There's no way that we have to wonder, what does God really want us to do? What does He really mean? And so Cain knew right up front that what he had done was wrong, but he didn't like that he was told that it was wrong. That's the result of the pride that is in the heart of man as a lost individual. He doesn't like to be told he's wrong. And so Cain didn't do well. It didn't work out well for him. In Genesis chapter 6, we see that the world in general was in a great mess because they had rejected God. And God brought a worldwide flood. Only 8 people were saved from that flood. Noah was preaching righteousness for 120 years while he was building the ark. But none of the people outside of his family paid any attention to what Noah had to say. They all perished. What a sad picture. In Genesis chapter 10 and 11, after the flood, Nimrod was a man who chose to lead in a rebellion against God. And again, God stopped that rebellion, at least in part. He confounded the languages of people, and they had to scatter. And they could not have the success that they were looking for in trying to develop a society without God. In our world today, we know that our country has decided that God doesn't matter. They have as much as said that the local church is not essential. We can do quite well without the local church. We need to have pubs. We need to have marijuana. They just read an account yesterday that marijuana use has increased since this whole thing started, because people are scared and they're looking for some way to find some peace of mind. And so they're going to drugs to try to calm their troubled hearts. God offers real peace, and that peace comes through knowing His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet few are willing to consider that. They don't even want to listen to what God has to say. But that shouldn't stop us from telling people the truth. We're not told in the Bible that we need to check the poll the people and see, well, what is it that the people want, and then we need to give them what they want. There are a lot of religions that do that. But that's not what God wants us to do, because God knows what we need, and we need to let Him show us that and let Him save us that we can know His peace. The first point that we have this afternoon is that man's devices versus God's counsel. Man's devices versus God's counsel. Now, last week we left off with verse 20, and in verse 20 it says, "Hear counsel, and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." And we tied verse 20 to verse 19, where it says, "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, thou must do it again." And that verse, those two verses, they do go together very well. But verse 20 also is a verse that can be a heading for the verses that we're looking at today. Because again, counsel is so important for us. There are people who make their living being counselors. The sad reality is that most of them have nothing worthwhile to say. They get their training from men like Carl Jung and others like that who defied God, who hated God. And that's the basis upon which many people build their ideas as to how to counsel others. And so they can't be of any help. But God's Word offers us real help. And so in verse 21, it says, "There are many devices in a man's heart." And we know that in our world today, there are many people who have different ideas of how to be successful. They have different ideas. We have in our country, we have 4 major political parties. Each one of those parties tells us, "We know exactly how to govern this country. If you will vote for us, we will bring prosperity to this country. And we know how to keep the climate under control, because after all, it's getting out of control and we're going to burn up if we don't take care of things." You know, they have all the answers. There are many devices in man's heart. The problem is that those devices are just that. They're devices. They're not truth. They're devices. In the Bible, we have in the days of the nation of Israel, when Joshua was leading the nation, God led them over the Jordan River and brought them into the promised land. And God told them exactly how to conquer Jericho. And Joshua listened to God, and the people did exactly what God said, and they were successful. The walls of Jericho came down, and the nation, or the city was destroyed, and the nation of Israel was able to take that land over. Then the next place they were going to go to was to Ai. And Joshua there failed to take counsel from God, and he sent some people to check the situation out, and they said, Ai is just a small place. We don't need to enlist all the men of Israel to go and fight against Ai. Let's just take a small number to go and fight against Ai. And Joshua, he listened to the devices of man. And we know the result of that. 36 Israelites died, and the people fled from Ai. And then Joshua, still acting on the devices of man, he fell on his face, and he began to wail before God and to complain before God. Why, God, why did you let this happen? Now the people are going to realize that we're not strong, we're vulnerable, and we're not going to be able to survive. And God told Joshua, get up. Joshua had no business falling on his face and blaming God for what happened in Ai. The devices of man are many, but they're never successful. And so when Joshua listened to what God had to say, which he could have done before he ever went to Ai, he could have asked God, how do you want us to approach Ai? And God would have told him, there's sin in the camp that needs to be dealt with first. Because that's what God told him when he finally had Joshua's attention. And so when the nation took care of that sin in the camp, then they could go after Ai, and God told them exactly how to go against Ai and how to be successful against that city. And that was the way it was for the rest of the conquering that Israel did in the land of Canaan. We know in the book of Judges, as we've been studying it in our Sunday school hour, that many times the nation of Israel was run by the devices of man rather than the counsel of God. And we see again how that they could not succeed by the devices of man. It doesn't work that way. Solomon had a plan as well. He started out well. God met with Solomon and asked Solomon, or what would you like to have as the new king of the land? And Solomon rightfully asked God for wisdom. He understood that there was no way that he could ever govern that land properly himself. And God was pleased with Solomon's request, and he gave him wisdom, but he also gave him wealth. But the problem is that Solomon allowed the devices of man to interfere with the wisdom of God. And Solomon married many wives, the Bible tells us. His very first wife was a foreign woman, not from among the nation of Israel. That was not God's design. He was supposed to marry someone from within the nation of Israel, but he didn't do that. But then that wasn't enough to just have one foreign wife. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. The devices of man are many. He didn't check with God on that. And the result of that was that as Solomon aged and as his time ran out for being king, the nation was falling apart. And God said to Solomon, I'm going to judge this nation because of your sin. And when Solomon died, God split the nation in two. And the nation of Israel never came back together again as a nation. They were split in two. And then later on, because of the devices of men again, the northern tribes went into captivity by the Assyrians. The southern tribes went into captivity by the Babylonians. The devices of man are many, but the counsel of the Lord. And you notice there, the word Lord there is all capitalized. Speaking there of Jehovah God again, that word is so common throughout the Old Testament. The importance of knowing this self-existent God who does not need your permission or mine. He doesn't ask us for counsel. He governs according to His will because He is always right. And that's very important for us to understand. We have no reason to doubt God at any time. There are things that we don't always understand, but we have no reason to doubt God. And that's one thing that God wants us to understand from His Word, that we have no reason to doubt God at any time. So we see here the contrast that God gives us in this verse. A desire in verse, there are many devices, in a man's heart. Nevertheless, so contrary to that, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So for us today, what is the counsel of the Lord for us today? Well, the counsel of the Lord, first of all, Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. He didn't tell Nicodemus, you know, Nicodemus, you're a pretty smart man. You've got a lot of Bible knowledge. Here's something you might want to try to add to your Bible knowledge. He dismissed all of Nicodemus's Bible knowledge and said, ye must be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand that, and Jesus explained it further to him. But that's the counsel of the Lord. That's where it all starts. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's wise counsel. There are a lot of people today that they wonder what happens when we die. And of course, they want to think they're going to go to a happy place. Some of them want to go somewhere where they can golf all the time. They want to go somewhere where they can be with their buddies and sit around and laugh and drink and so on. That's the kind of place a lot of people are looking for when they die. But what would be the point of a place like that? It would be no better than where we are here. Because we have all that stuff here, and look at the mess we're in. And so, in order to get to heaven, the Bible teaches that we need to be saved. That's what being born again is all about. There are some people who are changing the wording and they call it reborn or the rebirth. I heard that term a few years ago in talking to a Catholic woman. And she explained to me what that term means. And that term is a Catholic term and it means that you're going back to your roots. So you're going to go back to your Catholic roots. You've strayed away from your Catholic roots. You're going to go back to that, and that's how you're reborn. Jesus didn't say you need to be reborn. He said you need to be born again. There's a difference. So it's very important for us to pay attention to the words that are being used. What do they mean? What do people mean by the certain terms that they use? And we need to listen to the truth and make sure that we're following what God says, because that's what's important. That's what saves. And that's what we need to listen to. And so it's very important for us to see, first of all, that the counsel of the Lord is we need to be saved. Then the counsel of the Lord tells us that once we are saved, now we need to get baptized. Why? What's the purpose of baptism? Well, baptism is a picture. It doesn't save anybody. But baptism is a picture that demonstrates what happens when a person gets saved. And the Bible teaches that when a person is born again, when a person is saved, that person, when they pass from death unto life, the Bible says that they've been crucified with Christ and they've been raised up again in newness of life, as Christ was raised up. We've been given eternal life. We have died. That's what the word repentance is all about in the Bible. We are turning to God, and in turning to God, we are turning away from, we're leaving our past behind. We're not dragging our past to God and say, God, please fix my past. And the Apostle Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 3 about his past, and he says he counted that but dung. And when you take dung, and you spread it out on the field. You want to get it away from your house. You don't want it around you. So when a person gets saved, we don't know how to clean up our own mess. But when we turn to God in salvation, He shows us what's right and what's wrong. And the true person that's saved wants what God has to say. He wants to follow God. He wants God's blessing. The person that's a pretender, he says, well, I like my rock music, so I'm just going to put Jesus' name in there and it'll all be good. There's nothing wrong with the odd bottle of beer, so I'm going to still be a social drinker. And many other things like that that people assume they can do, but not according to God's word. So when a person is born again, they're changed. And their baptism is a picture of that change that God has wrought in their heart. And then the Bible also counsels us to join a local church. Find a true local church. There are a lot of places around that call themselves churches. We're finding out right now what many of the true churches are and what many of the false churches are. The false churches have no problem being closed. In fact, they will scold people like us for meeting. Don't you know that you're killing people? No, I don't know that I'm killing people. In fact, I'm not killing people. I'm offering people life. As I mentioned in our devotional this morning, that the local church is more essential than the hospital. We need the hospitals. I'm not saying we don't need the hospitals. They're very helpful when we're sick. But the hospitals can only sometimes help us physically. But they don't help us spiritually. Most of the chaplains that are in the hospitals are lost individuals. But the local church, the true local church, preaches the Word of God. That's food for the soul. And when our souls are in right condition, we can begin to think clearly. And we begin to understand things better. I'm not saying that Christians don't get sick. We do get sick. But Christians have an understanding in how to avoid many things that can cause us to get sick, many things that can cause us to have problems in our lives. But sickness is a part of the curse. And so we're not going to be free from sickness until we get to heaven. But we can live healthy lives. And when it comes to these last 15 months, we can have an understanding about what is going on. What is the agenda that the government is pushing, not just ours, but the world? What is behind this whole thing? Yes, the virus is real, but it's not nearly as deadly as they're trying to make it out to be. So that's our first point here today. The second point that we have is kindness and poverty are better than liars. In verse 22, it says that the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. In Proverbs 11 and verse 23, we have a verse that helps us to understand this, and it says there in Proverbs 11, verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. So when we're talking here in verse 22 about the desire of a man, we're talking about a man who fears God, who knows God, and who wants to please God, and the desire of a man is his kindness. You can tell what's in a man's heart by how he treats other people. Someone that's always pushing some other people around and is mean and cruel, their desire is not to be kind. Their desire is not to help others. Their desire is to bulldoze people out of their way. They have a plan for themselves, and they don't want anybody else interfering in their plan. They talked in the news the other day, they talked about airlines right now, again, because of everything that people are facing. And when you fly on a plane, not long after you're seated, they come around with refreshments, and they, one of those things that they offer is not a refreshment, it's a poison called alcohol. And they offer it to those that are flying. But they said that the airlines are beginning to consider whether they need to delay offering that to people, because people with all the the tension in their lives because they don't know the Lord, and they're so afraid and so uptight that they get a little bit of liquor behind them and they start to become violent. They talked about a woman who was banned from flying because she punched a stewardess and knocked out some of her teeth. That's a woman, not a man. But you see, our world is so tight right now, so tense, because of the fear that they have. And any little thing is causing that to just flare up in so many people's lives because they don't know the peace of God. But the desire of a man's heart is his kindness, and it's not a contrast here, but and a poor man is better than a liar. And I think those of us who are adults, we understand that. That sometimes we miss out on a promotion. Sometimes we don't get that extra raise because we're too honest. We won't bow to the dictates of the boss who wants, well, you can cheat a little bit here. You can do it this way. It doesn't matter. But the Christian, the true child of God, he would rather honor God. And if he doesn't get that raise, that's okay. He's got a home in heaven. He's got a treasure that's far better than everything this world has to offer. And that's something we need to be reminded of, because we as Christians, sometimes we can get short-sighted too. And so we need to be reminded of the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are many. We need to be reminded of that. And we need to be able to help others to see the importance of those blessings as well in their lives. Because many people today are chasing after things. And we're finding out in this last 15 months or so, we're finding out that many people are in financial trouble because they can't work the way they used to. They're not allowed to. And our government wants to put us on a guaranteed monthly income. And of course, that's going to be designed to keep everybody in poverty, so that we're always begging from the government for a handout, just like they did in Russia years ago. That's what our government is planning. The Liberal Party said they want to work on a guaranteed monthly income. That's their plan. So, we know where the world is going. We know what their desire is. It's not kindness, it's control. The third thing that we see here, the question that we're going to be answering is, do you value life? Do you value life? It says in verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. 28 times we have that phrase, the fear of the Lord, in the Old Testament. The fear of the Lord is not something that causes us to be in a panic state or crippled because we're so afraid that maybe we'll make a wrong step. The fear of the Lord talks about reverencing God as the true God and understanding that what He has to say is of utmost importance to us as people. Every word of God, the Bible tells us, is pure. And so when we have the fear of God in our hearts, that motivates us to follow God. We understand that following God is a way of blessing. We're not following Him because we're afraid of going the wrong way, but we follow Him because we reverence Him. We respect Him. We see the value and the importance of following Him. That's why it says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. You notice the word Lord there again is all capitalized. God knows the way that I should go. He knows the way that you should go. He knows where He wants you to live. He knows what He has in mind for you, for your future, your plans. And He wants you to allow Him to direct your plans, so that you make wise plans. And that's very important, that we understand that. The man that has the fear of the Lord in his heart can be satisfied with much less than the world has to offer. It says that. It says, and he that hath it shall be satisfied. In the world, people need a lot of toys. They need a four-wheeler in the summertime, they need a snowmobile in the wintertime, they need a boat maybe, or they maybe need to go on a big holiday somewhere. They need all kinds of things just to try to satisfy them. I was listening to a man yesterday, a lost man who lives in B.C., and he was talking about how that with all these lockdowns that he and his wife, they just had to get away. And in B.C., of course, you can only travel. They've broken B.C. up into four districts. So you can only travel within your own little district. Otherwise, you're not allowed to go. And police are stopping cars and asking them where you're coming from and where are you going. And if you're not going to the right place, they can turn you around and send you back home. So they stopped this man and his wife. They had gone off for a week to their cottage, or to a cottage. They maybe rented, I don't know, but they got away, and of course that's not allowed. But they managed to get away without being stopped, but now they were heading home. And they came to a check stop. And so the policeman asked the man, where are you going, and where are you coming from? And the man told him he lied. He said he came from a job, which he didn't. He later on had said that, not to the police, but in his article, in his posting. And then the policeman said, where are you going? He said, I don't have to tell you that. And he didn't. The policeman said, yes, you do. He said, no, I don't. What's your ID? Give me your ID. He says, I don't have to give you that either. And he didn't. So they put him into secondary line there where they were going to question him further. Well, of course, they have his license number. They can find out everything they need to know about him right from his license number. So after making him wait for a while, the police came back and talked to him again and asked him again where he was going. And he said, I don't have to tell you that. And I'm going home. That's all he said. I'm going home. And and they knew where his home was because they'd already checked his license plate. And so this other policeman said, okay, you can go, but you have to understand that you can only travel for essential business. And so the man said, he went and they went back home. But he said, I'm going to go and do another trip, and if I get stopped, he says, I'm not going to tell them anything. I'm not going to tell them where I've come from. I'm not going to tell them where I'm going, because he says, they don't have the right to stop me. Well, we'll see what the government does and what the police do, because they're not following the laws of the land anyway. The laws of the land are immaterial to them right now. But you see, this man, he's not satisfied. And so he has to get away. But when we have the fear of the Lord in our lives, we can be satisfied. You notice it says there, he shall abide. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. That's he's content, not just for a moment, but that's his life. He's content. He's satisfied. And then it says also, he shall not be visited with evil. We talked this morning about in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 8, where it says that of God, he says, I make peace, and I create evil. And we said there when we looked at that verse that evil there is not talking about sin, because God doesn't create sin. But evil there is talking about trouble. And so here too, God is telling us that the person who has the fear of the Lord in their hearts, they're not going to be visited with trouble. You see, we can get ourselves into all kinds of trouble when we don't follow the Lord. Samson was a man who got himself into all kinds of trouble, ended up having his eyes poked out, ended up grinding grain like the oxen did. He was in trouble. He had evil visiting him. Why was that? Because he didn't have the fear of the Lord in his heart. He decided that he didn't need to listen to God, didn't need to listen to the instructions he was given as a boy And as an adult, he decided, I'm going to do my own thing, go my own way. And God was very gracious with Samson. But it was never God's intent that the Philistine should poke out his eyes. But because Samson decided to make his own way, he ended up blind and he ended up dying amongst the Philistines. Yes, he killed many Philistines, but he didn't die of old age. He didn't die in a peaceful state. He died as a building was tumbling down and crushed him to death. It was a choice that he made. It was a bad choice. And he suffered the consequences of that bad choice. So God is giving us again here some words of wisdom that we need to hear. So important for us to listen to what God has to say. God never makes a mistake. He wants to bless us. He wants us to know His peace and joy in our hearts. And He knows how we can have that. You notice that there's never trouble with God. Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he faced a lot of persecution, but he never got himself into trouble. He never did anything that would cause him to regret what he had done. There are people today who suggest that Jesus had an affair with Mary Magdalene. Of course, they're lost people. They don't know the truth. Jesus spent time with Mary Magdalene. He taught her the importance of the truth. But there was nothing immoral going on in Jesus' life or in his mind. His heart and mind were pure. He never got himself. Evil never visited him. And so it is with anybody that's a true Christian walking faithfully with God. Now there are, as people, even as Christian people, we don't always walk in the fear of the Lord. That's our problem. We still have the old man, as the Apostle Paul talks about him. We have the old nature that is still in there trying to fight against that new nature that God has given to us. And when we yield to that old nature, then we sin. But the good news is as well that there's always that opportunity for the Christian to confess his sin, 1 John 1:9, and be forgiven. God is a good God. And He helps us to see the need to turn back to Him when we've sinned. He shows us, first of all, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that we don't need to sin. When we are tempted, He always makes a way of escape. But it's up to us whether we're going to choose that way or not. If we don't want that way, then again, we're going to suffer the consequences. It's not going to be good for us. But we can be forgiven. So the thing we need to learn as Christians is to walk in the fear of the Lord. To take every step carefully. And not to run ahead of God. Not to disregard what God says. But to walk carefully and faithfully with God. That's what He wants us to do. Even in the midst of the current situation we're in, we can still walk faithfully with God. We don't need to allow the fear of man to take control of our lives. We can have God's peace. We can have God's blessing. And we can be a blessing to others. And so I trust that these words here from the book of Proverbs will be a help to us as we go through our days, that we will remember the importance of having God directing us, taking counsel from Him instead of working with the devices of man, just going whatever we imagine, whatever we think, we're going to just see how it works out. Let's take our counsel from God. Let's ask Him to lead us. And when we do that, will be successful. And then let's be careful as well that we don't let the dollar bills dictate how we're going to live, but that we are people that allow God to direct us, that we are kindness in our hearts, that we are governed by God's kindness, and we want to help others. The Lord Jesus, was when he was on this earth, he had compassion for the people. He saw the multitudes, and he had compassion on them. He wanted to help them to know God's peace. He spent many hours teaching the people. He even allowed the Pharisees time and time again, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the lawyers, he allowed them to tempt him. And as they tempted him, he always gave them a very clear answer, gave them an opportunity to realize how foolish it was to tempt the Lord, gave them an opportunity to turn to him and be saved. The sad reality is that not many of them took advantage of that opportunity. But he was there to help people. And he still is today. Through his word, we find all the help that we need. And so we today that are saved, we need to be willing to help others. We need that kindness in our hearts and lives that we can help others to know God's forgiveness and have his peace in their hearts. We need to be governed by the fear of God, that we think carefully about the choices we're making, where we're going, who we're going to listen to, and that we allow the Lord to direct us and to bless us, that he can be glorified in our lives and that we can help others to know his peace. There are so many people today that are hurting, so many people that are fearful. And they need an answer. They need a clear answer. They need a right answer. And we have that answer from the Word of God. So may God help us that we would seek to help others to know God's peace in these days in which we're living and honor him and be willing to show others the way as we follow God faithfully. And again, if anyone listening is not saved, the answer to your needs today is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're listening online, you need to turn to God and ask him to forgive you and save you. The Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Turning to God, not making a bargain with God, but asking God to forgive you and save you. He wants to do that. He invites all to come unto him. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So many people today, they don't have that rest that God wants to give them. But it's available, and we're here to help you. Our website is here, our phone number is on there, our email is on there, so you can find help if you want it. And we'd be happy to show you from God's Word how that you can know His peace in this time in which we're living. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again this afternoon for Thy Word. We're thankful for the truthfulness of Thy Word. Thankful for the blessing there is in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and walking with Thee faithfully as a humble servant of Thine. What a privilege it is to live under the fear of the Lord rather than to be caught up in the fear of man. And we're thankful, Father, for giving us the weather that we need here to be able to stand outside, to be outside here to have this service. We're thankful, Father, for the warmer weather, and we just pray that many would be saved in these last days. We pray for our government officials again. Pray, Father, that they might see the wickedness in their hearts, they might repent, desire thy forgiveness and thy truth. And we pray that we'd be faithful to thee in seeking to help others to know thy peace in these last days. We look forward to the soon return of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to be faithful and not caught off guard when he comes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.